The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share with you information from various medical sources. The Harvard Health Letter. Can this DNA test help predict your longevity? Telomeres made of your DNA are biomarkers of aging. There's no crystal ball in medicine that can predict how fast you're aging or how long you'll live. But the latest trend in private screening tests claims to provide a tantalizing clue. The tests offer a snapshot of the length of your telomeres, the protective caps at the ends of your chromosomes in your cells. The concept is very attractive. There's this visual idea of something acting like a clock counting down to the end, and that's why it's powerful. The problem is that just because it's appealing, it doesn't mean it's true, says Dr. William Hahn, a Harvard Medical School professor and chief research strategy officer at Harvard-affiliated Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. About telomeres, and that's spelled T-E-L-O-M-E-R-E-S. Each cell in your body carries a set of genes unique to you that tell it what to do and when to do it. The genes made up of DNA are linked together in long strands called chromosomes. Chromosomes come in pairs. We have 23 pairs in each cell. At each end of each chromosome is a protective cap called a telomere, which keeps the chromosome from becoming damaged when a cell divides. A telomere is made up of thousands of sections of expendable DNA. Each time a cell divides, the telomeres shorten just a bit, explains Dr. Immaculata DeVivo, a Harvard Medical School professor and genetics researcher at the Dana-Farber Harvard Cancer Center. Once telomeres reach a critically short stage, they can't protect the chromosomes anymore, and the cell usually dies. Thus, the progressively shorter telomeres of a cell constitute a biomeasure of its aging. Telomere shortening. How long are your telomeres at birth, and how much telomere length will you lose in a lifetime? The answer to both questions is that it's different for everyone, notes Dr. DeVivo. And the different rates of shortening depend on each person's genes and lifestyle. Unhealthy lifestyle factors such as smoking, eating junk food, obesity, inactivity, and chronic stress are all associated with shorter telomeres. Shorter telomeres in turn are associated with a lower life expectancy and higher rates of developing chronic diseases such as cardiovascular disease. Telomere testing. Commercial telomere tests promise to uncover the status of your telomere length, claiming that this knowledge will reveal your biological age and help you make better lifestyle choices. You can find telomere tests in several places. One is the internet. For as little as $100, some companies will sell you a home kit that allows you to send your DNA in a drop of blood or a cheek swab to a lab. After a few weeks, the company mails you the test results, which tell you what your telomere length is and how that length compares to your peers. For more money, you can talk to a company coach who explains the results to you and helps you come up with a plan for healthier living. Other ways to get the test include going to a walk-in clinic with a doctor who will order the test for you and then talk you through the results, buying and ordering a test from a company that directs you to a lab or a doctor who works in your area, asking your own physician to order the test for you. All of these options are more expensive than ordering a home kit because you have to pay not just for the test, but also a doctor's time, and those prices depend on the particular office. Is it accurate? The accuracy of various commercial telomere tests is uncertain. There are few published methods for telomere measurements. There also is no government entity that oversees the accuracy of telomere tests. There is no equivalent of the Food and Drug Administration, which monitors whether the pills you take really contain the medicine they are supposed to, and in the right dose, Dr. DeVivo says. The trouble with longer telomeres. While longer telomeres are associated with longevity, they're also associated with cancer. Cancer cells divide uncontrollably, which shortens their telomeres. However, cancer cells can turn on an enzyme called telomerase that stabilizes and even lengthens their telomeres. That's good for the cancer cells. They can keep dividing uncontrollably, but it's obviously not a good thing for the person with the cancer, says Dr. William Hahn. Salad greens, getting the most bang for the bite. Tailor salad greens to your dietary needs and taste preferences. In the quest to follow daily dietary recommendations and eat the right amount of vegetables, salad is your friend. A large salad can check off your veggie requirements for the day in one fell swoop. But not all salad greens are created equal. They vary in regard to their nutrient content, nutrient density, flavor, and texture, says Elizabeth Moore, registered dietitian at Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. So it helps to know which salad greens will give you the most bang for the bite. Common greens. The raw leaves we toss into a salad may come from several varieties of lettuce, which include crisp head, also known as iceberg, a round, tightly packed head of light-colored, crunchy leaves. Romaine, long, crisp leaves, often used in Caesar salads. Butterhead, a loosely packed head of lettuce that resembles a blossoming flower, such as Boston lettuce. And then loose leaf, large, curly, sometimes reddish leaves arranged along a central stalk, such as red or green leaf lettuce. It's also common to use the leaves of many other plants in salads, such as spinach, kale, arugula, dandelion, escarole, and watercress. The benefits of greens. Most salad greens contain essential dietary nutrients such as vitamins, minerals, and even water. They also provide fiber, which is beneficial in many areas, including cardiovascular and gastrointestinal health. Greens are also low in calories but high in nutrients and volume, which can be helpful if you're trying to manage your weight. Some of the most nutritious greens include spinach, kale, romaine, watercress, and arugula. They are rich in a combination of vitamins A, C, and K, several B vitamins, including folate and potassium. But some greens aren't nutrient powerhouses. Iceberg lettuce, for example, contains folate and vitamin A, but is otherwise known for being the least nutrient-dense salad green. I'm not recommending that you avoid iceberg lettuce, Moore says, just that it's best to mix it with other greens. Building your salad. Build a salad based on the nutrients you need most, or simply the tastes and textures you like the best. For example, arugula and watercress are peppery, dandelion and escarole are bitter, Mache and iceberg are sweet, and a green called tatsoi has a mustard flavor. The USDA recommends 2 cups of vegetables per day for women ages 51 or older, and 2.5 cups per day for men ages 51 or older. But a cup of vegetables is not the same as a cup of salad greens. It actually takes about 2 cups of greens to make up the nutritional equivalent of a 1 cup serving of vegetables. If that sounds like a lot of greens for one sitting, just add other vegetables to your salad bowl, such as tomatoes, carrots, and peppers. If you're eating salad as a meal, add a source of lean protein, such as chicken, fish, or egg. And a word of caution, no matter how healthy your salad greens and other vegetables are, salad dressings can easily add fat, sugar, and calories. Moore's advice: choose oil-based dressings or simply oil and vinegar. Measure the portion and aim for no more than 2 tablespoons. So now I'm going to read a chart that are the salad greens by the numbers. The nutrient levels are shown for 1 cup of raw greens. And remember, it takes 2 cups of greens to make the nutritional equivalent of 1 cup of vegetable. So for vitamin A, arugula, 237 IUs. Kale, 1598, romaine, 4,094, spinach, 2813, Swiss chard, 2202, and watercress, 1085. Folate, arugula, 10, kale, 23, romaine, 64, spinach, 58, Swiss chard, only 5, and watercress, only 3. Vitamin C, arugula, 1.5, kale, 19, romaine, 2, spinach, 8, Swiss chard, 11, and watercress, 14. Vitamin K, arugula, 11, kale, 113, romaine, 48, spinach, 144, Swiss chard, 299, and watercress, 85. Calcium, arugula, 16, kale, 24, romaine, 16, spinach, 30, Swiss chard, 18, and watercress, 41. And I have three more. Magnesium, arugula, 5, kale, 8, romaine, 7, spinach, 24, Swiss chard, 29, and watercress, 7. Potassium, arugula, 37, kale, 79, romaine, 116, spinach, 167, Swiss chard, 136, and watercress, 112. And finally, fiber, arugula, 0.2, kale, 0.6, romaine, 1, spinach, 0.7, Swiss chard, 0.6, and watercress, 0.2. From the Mayo Clinic, rheumatoid arthritis, options for gaining control. Your joints are sometimes a bit stiff when you first wake up in the morning, but lately they've been downright swollen and uncomfortable. You were diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis a couple of years back, and thanks to the medications your doctor recommended, your signs and symptoms have largely been kept in check until now. Inside your joints, rheumatoid arthritis occurs when your immune system attacks the joint linings or the synovial membranes that protect and lubricate your joints. When this happens, the membranes become inflamed, causing your joints to feel warm, painful, and swollen. This is called synovitis. The joints may also become stiff, particularly in the morning. Persistent inflammation can cause the release of cells, chemicals, and enzymes that begin to eat away at cartilage and bone. Damage to tendons and ligaments also may occur. Over time, this process may cause the muscles around the joint to become weak. Eventually, this inflammation leads to destruction of the joint. This is what makes prompt treatment of rheumatoid arthritis so important. Who's at risk? Although experts don't fully understand the cause of rheumatoid arthritis, there's evidence that a combination of genes, hormones, and environmental factors are involved. People with a specific genetic marker are 5 times more likely to develop rheumatoid arthritis than are people without the marker. In recent years, researchers have identified over 100 other genes linked to increased risk of developing more severe disease. Infectious agents, such as bacteria and viruses, are thought to possibly trigger the disease in people who are genetically susceptible. The disease is predominantly found in women. Hormones also believed to play a role. Lifestyle factors such as smoking and obesity also increase the risk. Getting a diagnosis. The onset of rheumatoid arthritis can be sudden and severe, with swelling in many joints, or it can be subtle and progress slowly, with swelling in only one or two joints. This variability can make the disease challenging to diagnose in its early stages. If you notice joint swelling that lasts longer than a couple of weeks, see your doctor. While there's no one specific test used to make the diagnosis, your doctor will use information gathered from a physical examination, evaluation of symptoms, blood tests, and imaging studies to confirm a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis. The imaging tests often include x-rays of the hands, wrists, and feet, which are used to look for signs of joint damage. These images are also used as a baseline for monitoring any progression of the disease over time. Early and aggressive treatment. The first goal in treating rheumatoid arthritis is usually to put the disease in remission by stopping or reducing inflammation. Early aggressive treatment with medications improves the odds of remission. By gaining tight control of the disease, the pace of joint damage can be slowed or even halted. A number of drugs may be used to slow disease activity. Traditional disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, or DMARDs, DMARDs, these drugs are typically the first-line treatment. Commonly used DMARDs include methotrexate, brand names of Trexol and others, hydroxychloroquine or Plaquenil, Areva, and azulfidine. They are typically taken by mouth, but methotrexate may also be given by injection. Glucocorticoids, or glucocorticoids, I'm sorry. Because it can take weeks for DMARDs to start working, glucocorticoids, sometimes referred to as corticosteroids or just steroids, can bridge the gap and offer faster relief. These medications include prednisone and prednisolone, are taken orally or by injection into the affected joints. Steroids are then typically tapered off to minimize the risk of side effects that typically comes with long-term use. Biologics. Drugs in this subcategory work by targeting specific steps in the inflammatory process. They're used if traditional DMARDs aren't fully effective and may be used alone or in combination with traditional DMARDs, such as methotrexate. They're typically taken by injection or infusion. And then Janus kinase inhibitors, JAK inhibitors. This new subcategory of DMARDs works by blocking the body's production of JAKs, enzymes that play a role in joint inflammation. The only JAK inhibitor available in the United States for rheumatoid arthritis is Xeljanz, which is taken by mouth. Other drugs are in various stages of development. After initial drug therapy is started, a regular monitoring schedule, often at least every 3 months, is recommended to monitor activity of the disease as well as any side effects from treatment. If the initial drug doesn't allow your arthritis to reach or maintain remission, a different drug or combination of drugs may be tried. Easing symptoms. In addition to drugs to slow disease activity, drugs may also relieve pain and other signs and symptoms. NSAIDs, including non-prescription ibuprofen like Advil, Motrin, IB, and others, and naproxen, sodium, or Aleve, help to reduce inflammation. So can prescription strength ibuprofen and naproxen, or naproxen. The COX-2 inhibitors, Celebrex, or the COX-2 inhibitor, Celebrex, can relieve pain, but often with less stomach irritation than may accompany a normal NSAID use. Regular physical activity is an important treatment for rheumatoid arthritis. Exercise helps maintain flexibility and functionality in joints and helps prevent many other conditions that often accompany the disease, including heart disease and osteoporosis. However, it's important to balance activity and rest when your joints are painful or stiff. Rest can help reduce inflammation and the fatigue that often accompanies a flare of symptoms. You may benefit from working with an occupational therapist on steps to conserve your joints. The therapist may also recommend assistive devices to reduce strain on the joints that can aggravate pain and damage. Surgery. It's hoped that medications and lifestyle management can keep joint damage to a minimum. But for people with permanent joint damage that limits daily functioning, surgery is an effective option to relieve pain and restore function. Options range from surgery to remove the inflamed lining of the joint, which is called a synovectomy, to a total joint replacement depending on the severity of damage. If you have been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and are planning surgery for any reason, it's worth talking to your surgeon or primary doctor about whether you need special x-rays of the neck to be sure you don't have spinal instability that can be dangerous during anesthesia. On the horizon, researchers continue to explore new options for putting the disease into remission and limiting joint damage, especially for people who may not tolerate or respond well to traditional treatments. A number of newer Injectable medications are in development, including several that target specific types of immune cells involved in rheumatoid arthritis. Other developments on the horizon include more oral medications. While biologic drugs have revolutionized how rheumatoid arthritis is treated, the fact that they're only given by self-injection or infusion in a doctor's office and are often expensive has been a barrier to their use. Additional oral JAK inhibitors and other drugs that block the production or signaling of molecules that regulate immune responses are in various stages of development. Vagus nerve stimulation. Small early studies suggest that an implanted device that sends electrical signals to the brain by way of the vagus nerve, which travels from the brain stem to most other organs in the body, may improve the disease activity of rheumatoid arthritis without the side effects of drug therapy. Clinical trials are ongoing to explore this option. Current biologics, and I'll read the four different classes, the specific drugs and how they work. The first class is TNF-alpha inhibitors, and that's Humira, Cimzia, Enbrel, and Simponi and Remicade. And they stop disease progression by targeting tumor necrosis factor alpha, TNF-alpha, and inflammation-causing substance. Second, IL-1 receptor antagonists and IL-6 receptor antagonists, and the drugs are Kineret, Kevzara, and Actemra, and they work by blocking the activity of certain interleukins, proteins that cause joint damage. Next class is T-cell constimulation blocker, and that's Orencia. And that attaches to the surface of inflammatory cells and blocks communication between the cells. And then finally, anti-CD20 B-cell depleting monoclonal antibody. And that's the drug is Rituxan. And that targets B-cells, a type of white blood cells believed to play a role in the immune system's attack on the joints that have a protein called CD20 on their surface. Health tips: reducing soreness after exercise. To get fit, some muscle soreness is to be expected. However, that doesn't mean you have to experience severe soreness in the days after exercise. Reduce your risk of serious soreness by starting easy. If you haven't exercised for some time, start with a 5 or 10 minute walk. If you're on the tennis court for the first time in months, start with limited practice swings rather than a full match. With strength training, start with a weight you can very easily lift 12 to 15 times. Next, increase increments slowly. Follow the 10% rule. If your brisk walk is 20 minutes daily and you decide to increase, walk 22 minutes each day the following week. Within 5 weeks, you'll have moved up to 30 minutes daily. The same rule applies by adding a weight to the strength training exercise. Next, listen to your body. Adapt your exercise routine to the needs of your changing body. Next, use proper technique and equipment. Take a lesson or class to improve your form. Make sure your strength training technique is optimal. Invest in properly fitting equipment and wear appropriate shoes for the activity. Next, warm up and cool down. Perform light movements to help muscles adjust to your specific activity. End an exercise session with gentler movements. And then finally, mix up your routine. Add variety to reduce the risk of overuse injury and to keep muscles prepared for trying something new or more challenging. News and our views. Eating leafy greens may help preserve memory. Popeye and his cans of spinach aside, most leafy greens aren't commonly thought of as superfoods. However, new research suggests that salad staples such as spinach, kale, collard greens, and other types of lettuce may be superfoods when it comes to preserving memory and brain function. The study, published in Neurology on January 2018, involved 960 adults with an average age of 81 years. At the study onset, all participants were free of any form of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, and had detailed nutritional assessments. Participants took part in periodic cognitive assessments over about 5 years to determine thinking or memory changes. When the data were analyzed, those who ate the most leafy greens were equivalent to about 11 years younger in terms of age-related cognitive decline than were those who rarely or never ate leafy greens. This finding adds to other studies that have suggested a similar link. Those who ate the most leafy greens were consuming 1 to 2 servings of leafy greens daily. In the study, a serving equivalent of 1 cup of raw shredded greens or a half cup of cooked greens. The study was inconclusive regarding which specific nutrients in leafy greens were associated with greater benefit. Rather, it appeared possible that it's the mix of nutrients found in greens working synergistically that has beneficial effects on the brain. It's always difficult to prove cause and effect with nutrition studies. However, there's overwhelming evidence that consuming daily servings of a wide variety of vegetables, including leafy greens, is part of an optimal dietary foundation for good overall health and weight maintenance. If your vision of a leafy green is a wedge or of iceberg lettuce, take another look. Leafy greens are very versatile and easy to mix into various recipes, including soups, stews, stir fries, and casseroles. Cigar pipe smoking carries same risk as cigarettes. When it comes to the health risks of smoking, the focus tends to be on cigarettes. However, a new study shows that while cigar and pipe smoking carry a lower risk than cigarettes, they are far from being risk-free. The study, published in the February 2018 issue of JAMA Internal Medicine, followed 350,000 people who exclusively use cigars, pipes, or cigarettes, or who never use tobacco. Researchers found that those who smoked cigars had a 20% higher risk of premature death from all causes. The study showed similar findings with death from cancers linked to tobacco use, including cancers of the bladder, esophagus, and larynx, lung, mouth, and throat, and oral cavity, and pancreas. Cigar smokers had a 61% higher risk of dying of these cancers, and pipe smokers had a 58% higher risk. Current cigar smokers had more than a 300% higher risk of dying of lung cancer, while pipe smokers had almost 50% higher risk of dying of lung cancer. And because cigar and pipe smoke typically isn't inhaled, some believe that they're safer, and they're not. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy.